Reverend Dr. Ohniba Enyani Bodum is the pastor of the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Ministries, Center of Victory, a thriving congregation in the heart of Accra, Ghana. He serves faithfully under the leadership of Apostle Enyani Bodum, the General Overseer of Jesus Generation Ministries worldwide. Dr. Enyani Bodum's teachings are simple, practical, inspired by God, and characterized by many testimonies. He holds an annual healing and miracle service, which has witnessed many miracles of healings, signs, and wonders. Testimonies of this are published in his healing magazine titled Healing Springs. Believe God's word which you are about to hear, receive it, and be blessed. Now, listen to Reverend Dr. Ohniba.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning, the first Sunday of the month. Ask Lord that you will visit us in this month with the blessing of the Lord, and cause that at the end of February, many of us here will have testimonies about the goodness of God. We ask, O Lord Jesus, as we speak the word, let it bring transformation in the lives of people, homes, families, and cause there to be a difference, God, at the end of this word in our
lamp of God, seated at the right hand of the Father.
To be in the presence of God. Amen. Tell your friend it's good to see you. Amen. Tell the other person it's good to see you. Even if you don't know the person, say, hey, it's good to see you in the house of God. Amen. Amen. This morning, God is going to meet somebody. Hallelujah. God is going to meet somebody. Amen. Amen. Last Friday, we had a good time in God's presence. Hallelujah. How many of you were here? It was wonderful. I encourage you to come. Next month, we are having a 3-day dry fast. The qualification of the fast is what? It's a dry fast. You can just take liquids. Amen. And we are trying to bring a Reverend Charles Boache from Asankregua. Amen. God is going to do marvelous things. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Maybe I'll let you sing a song for me. Ma chenera dieni
Wabrena swasi Wateni Bible
Shira,
Begin to worship God and give Him some praise wherever you are.
Bless your holy name. We give you all honor and adoration. We say your name, the lifted up, Father. You alone be glorified. We exalt your name. We magnify you. We say the Lord be exalted. You are Adonai, the Lord be seen. We count on you. Bless your holy name. May your holy name.
Because there is no God like you, we will continually worship you. Because there is none like you, we will continually wait on you. Because there is none like you. You may try to sit down if you can. We give you all glory and praise for this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 14, verse 22. Sorry for changing the scriptures. I'm going to go back to that. Because there is no God like our God, we will wait on him. For you to be able to sing that song, Machen Eradie Nim Wabre Naswase Wetie Mimpaibo. Thank God for the songwriters of old. I believe whoever wrote that song had gone through an experience of waiting on the Lord. Today, people sing these songs and they sing it with rhythms. I believe those who wrote it didn't write it with rhythms in mind. It's a song that says that metiasia metimao, miwa miwuma. If I live, I live for you. If I die, I die for you. One day I heard a young man singing it with another rhythm, and I said to myself, you just want to sell some CDs and make money. Because I don't think that seriously you would die for the cause of Christ. Jeremiah chapter number 14, verse 22. He says, are there any among the idols of the nations that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are you not he, O Lord, our God? Therefore, we will wait for you since you have made all this. The prophet is saying that if we are to look through the idols and the gods of the entire world, are there any that can cause rain? No. Are there any that can cause the heavens to give showers? No. But then he says the one who is able to do these things is Jehovah our God. Therefore, because he is able to do these things, then we will wait on him. One can even cry. Your decision to wait on God is birthed out of your confidence in what God can do. And someone is entitled, Wait on the Lord. I'm going to try and preach it as a series over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And this morning, I am preaching on the sub-theme, avoiding the prematurity of purpose. Wait on the Lord is my broad theme. Today, I'm speaking on a sub-topic, avoiding the prematurity of purpose. Your ability to wait, man of God, your ability to wait on God is birthed out of your confidence in what God can do. If you believe that God can do it, then you would be patient enough to wait on him. People who are unable to wait on God, they just exhibit their lack of confidence in Jehovah God. What a shock that an ordinary man questions the power of his creator. Anytime you do not wait on God, that is what you are saying. You think you can fix this yourself. You think you can do this yourself. So you don't spend time with God to wait. The prophet said in the scripture we just read in Jeremiah, he said that because there are no other gods who can do what God does, then there is nowhere to go for answers. Therefore, we will wait. When a father is going out and tells the daughter or the son that I'll be back, I'm going to get you something. A And he has confidence in the Father. That child is going to wait. That child is not going to sleep till the Father comes back. Even if the Father delays, he says, oh no, he's coming. Haven't you seen movies where the fathers have died and the little children are still saying, oh no, he's going to come back? Because they have confidence in that person. Now, why avoiding the prematurity of purpose? I believe each one of us, like our general overseer says, we are not cosmic accidents. You did not fall from the sky. Your mother or father may say they did not plan you, but God planned you. Hallelujah. Oh, how many people are here like that? In fact, the birth spacing of my parents shows that I wasn't planned. My siblings are here. I'm very sorry, but it's the truth. The birth spacing of my parents' childbirth is 3 years, 3 years, 3 years, 3 years. Now, between my big brother and I is 1 year and about 4 months. It means, it clearly shows that I wasn't planted. But God, no, seriously, God has a plan which is able to throw away the plans of humanity. Let your parents say, oh, Akola, wait, brother, I'm planning. Oh, God planned it and so caused it to happen. You missed a good place to say amen. Amen. Purpose is the reason for which something is done or something is created, or the reason why something exists. There is a reason why you exist. Those who didn't say amen have no purpose. I hear a bigger amen now. There is a reason why we exist. And there is a reason why we are unique also from each other. Now, when our individual purposes and assignments come together, they culminate into God's total plan for the entire world. But for many of us here on earth, the thoughts that we are here on an assignment has never dropped into your little cerebellum. There are people who live and they just move with the flow. We are going for a party, let's go. We are going to do science, let's go. If you do well in science, you can do medicine, let's do it. Perhaps God has not ordained for you to go that path. Tell your neighbor, don't move with the flow. Have a purpose. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1, from verse number 1 to 10, there was a prophet who was remaining indoors, who was always talking about how he could not do many things, who thought of himself as a nobody. This prophet suffered a lot because his ministry was not popular, because he was a little bit poor, because he had so many struggles as a prophet. I taught you here some time ago when he cursed the day of his birth, like Job. His name is Jeremiah. Now, it took God to constantly send his word to Jeremiah every time to remind him that he's a man of purpose. Jeremiah 1, just read from the verse 1, I'm going to tell you where to stop. Jeremiah 1, 1 to 10.
The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign.
So that's the first time the word of God came to Jeremiah. Mm-hmm.
It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah.
So that's the second time the word of God came to him. Mm-hmm.
Until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah.
So it continued to come until the 11th year. Uh-huh.
King of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem.
And it continued until the carrying away of Jerusalem captives into the fifth month. Continue.
Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying...
So this is the word of God that the Lord had been consistently trying to tear, hammer down into this man's mind. What was that word?
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Before you were born, I knew you. Why would God say this to somebody? Continue.
Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation.
Why would God visit somebody and persistently for about 5 or 6 times, and his first word is not peace unto you, and then his first word is before you were born, I knew you? This was a counter-reacting statement to that man's low self-esteem. Say, Rema, God will not come and say, Ohinaba, before you were born, I knew you. This is trying to encourage them. What God said is trying to encourage him. And before you think I'm hypothesizing, look at the next verse.
Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak.
Even when God had finally told him that, look, you are not somebody without purpose. Before you were even conceived, I had a plan for your life. Before you were born, I had ordained and chosen you as a prophet to the nations. So God, in his global agenda, had a plan for this young man called Jeremiah. And God had to convince him that he was part and necessary part of his purpose. And even when God said it, and I told you the reason why God's first words to him was, look, before I formed you, I knew you. That was the man was suffering from a lack of self-esteem. And to confirm that, even when God said this, he just said back to the Lord, no, God. I cannot speak. I am a youth. Still telling us that he was still not ready to embrace his purpose. Why? Why? Sometimes when you hear from God and challenge God, he was talking to God as if God made a mistake. God, you know those who have to be prophets have to speak and I cannot speak. When you read down the verses, the Bible says God said to him, I have set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. This is the man that was sitting somewhere with his hands in between his thighs, saying, I'm a nobody, saying, I don't have purpose. Why? He refused to wait on God. One day the Lord said to me, that son, you know, sometimes we are funny people, academicians. We sit down and take a paper and think we can plan our lives like the way we plan school. So I said, oh, okay, between January and this, I'm going to do this. And then I'll do this in around May. Then I'll do this. I like writing. Ask Morris, my son. You see, anytime in my room, you see a lot of things to do, to do, to do. All the to-dos I write, normally they end up not to do. So one day, writing those things, and the Lord said to me, son, when you pray more, you will plan less. And I said, oh. Then I told Stella, how come I never thought of this? When you pray more, you will plan less. That saith the Spirit of the Lord to you also. When you pray more, when you wait on God more, you will plan less. You sit down making plans, projections into the next year. You don't pray so much. If you pray more, God will plan those things for you. And then you will say, like you said in Psalm 16 verses, the lines have fallen down to me in pleasant places. The tree is atomic. Hallelujah. 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 So this prophet was suffering from identity crisis. I think Pastor Solo has preached on that sermon already. And it took God to persistently use his word to hammer it. There is a plan for your life. Miles Monroe spoke about the inevitability of abuse in the absence of purpose when he said that where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. But was this the first time it had been said? No. For the wise King Solomon in the book of Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 18 said, the King James, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The New King James says that where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. The Amplified Bible says that where there is no vision, parenthesis, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. The Message Bible says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Today, I declare unto you, you will not be a people who stumble all over themselves, because you would know and see what God is doing. What God is doing is his purpose. God has a purpose for you. So why am I talking so much about this? And how do you, as a believer, escape the prematurity of purpose? There are many of us who today have been able to narrow down our goals and our desires, and even some have prayerfully identified why they are here on this earth. If you are not shy, let's take a little survey right now and say, how many of us here know your purpose on this earth? Just lift up your hand. You know a little bit of it. Come on, don't do this to me. 1, 2, 3, 4. Seriously, you don't know why you're on this earth? You know a little bit. You know about 50% the reason why you are here. Just lift up your hand. After all, there's one general one, which is to worship the Lord, isn't it? So at least you can know that one. Lift up your hand if you know the reason why you are here. Now, the problem is that it is like a young man or a young woman growing up with the charismatic circles filled with the giftings of the Holy Ghost. And how many of them have not been filled with the gift of God? But look at them after 10 years. They are nowhere to be found. Why? They did not wait on the law for the plan of God concerning that grace. They didn't. There are many people, when they have the gift of prophecy, they break out and start a church without waiting on God. There are many people, oh yes, you may be able to preach better than your head pastor. Oh yes, you may be able to prophesy better than your senior pastor. So what? So what? What you need to do is to learn to wait on God. What is God saying about that gift he has put in you? Maybe you're a very good banker. Maybe you're a very good accountant. And so the company letters are coming and you don't know which one to choose. And you use your own mind and intellect and say, well, this company is going to give me a lot of money. And then you go. What is God saying about that thing that is in you? What is God saying about it? You are not a cosmic accident, to quote our general overseer. You are a man or woman of purpose. The problem with Christianity today is our inability to wait on God. I heard Bishop Oyedepo once say that sometimes he prays about one particular thing for a year. And if he has not heard from God, he will not do it until he hears from God. What a life. And what a life the others are living on the other side, who just do things impulsively. When it comes, they just do it. The ideas of fast food, quick fix, instant money transfer have seeped into the Christian body. It has been carried over into the body of Christ. Today, even ministers of God shy away from messages that I'm preaching like this, like forbearance, long suffering, patience. When I was coming, I was listening to the radio. One preacher was on it. I see your breakthrough, and it's coming this right now. I want you to believe it, that now God has done it, and rise and shout hallelujah. And I said, that is all we are preaching today, because that is what you want to hear. I see your breakthrough, and it is right now. Oh, hallelujah. But maybe your breakthrough is not right now. Maybe your breakthrough is in 2 years. Maybe your breakthrough is in 5 years. Maybe the Lord in his wisdom has apportioned your breakthrough in the next 7 years. And then you go and you have the so-called prophets and the CS trying to contradict the purpose of God. Now, this month, God will do it for you. There are the mercies of God which are able to bring you into an acceptable time, which I've preached already. But then we should not get into the habit of quoting times for God and telling God, one day I was praying about a certain lady I wanted to marry. And then I told the Lord, I'm going to use 2 weeks to pray about this. And I believe that you are going to answer me. Somebody say, God, have mercy over this ignorant man. One day I kept praying towards the end of the second week. Then I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, son, I don't even think he said son. All the pastors, when they say God talk to you, they say son. Sometimes they don't even say son. He doesn't have time to address you like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the Lord said to me that you are praying about somebody you spend your lifetime with and you've given me 2 weeks. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. Somebody say long suffering. Say it again. If we claim to have the Spirit of God and therefore the fruits of the Spirit, then why are we substituting long suffering with quick action, fast connection? And there are people today, I'm going to preach to you, they leave God, they leave Christianity, and they go into advertised spirituality to get what they want. After all, those guys who have erected all those billboards today can give you that child you are looking for. They can give you that job you are looking for. And I'm praying that the government, instead of thinking of taxing churches, will come out with an idea to regulate such nonsense. Because I heard somebody on radio, he said, "Adro die mi obi pa, baye die mi obi pa, o die obi a break your heart, throw di na fa bre me." So I don't understand why this man should be allowed on radio. As opposed to the government thinking of taxing churches and doing other things, there should be a regulatory body. This is practicing witchcraft and occultism openly. He said on air, "A drug dealer will be power. What the bra? Obi break your heart. What the Trinity fabra? Usika kobi hombe sotua. Trinity fabra. Met shani se bibi oho." And this man is on air, but the Lord will keep us. For greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. Say, I'm a man of purpose. I want us to study about some few people. Number one is Moses. He was one of the greatest, if not the greatest leader of Israel. You see, the scripture I wanted us to read in the beginning, Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 28 to 31. He says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? That the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints or is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might he increases in strength." He said, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, but they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint." What is the prophet talking about in this scripture? He reveals the secret of the people who are able to wait upon God vis-a-vis those who do not have time to wait on God. He further says, "Learn to wait on this God who does not faint, who is not weary. For when you do that, he will renew your strength. You will have a form of God. On the journey of life, you will not faint. On the journey of life, you will not be weary." He said there are some people who think they are their youth. There are some people, he's not talking about just ordinary young people. He's talking about the people who can trust in themselves, the people who can trust in their strength, the people who think they can do this. "I got this, I got this. I can take care of this. I can plan this myself." They act like the youth because they have strength for that journey. They have strength for that purpose. He said even those people along the line, they will fail. He said those people along the line, they will faint. But the reason for the persistence of success in the journey of life is they who are able to wait on God. When you wait on this God who is not weary, you will also never be weary. When you wait on this God who does not faint, you will never be faint. Then he explains how you can rise up. He says, when you wait persistently on him, he will make you like the eagle who is able to soar high above every bird, soar high against the gravitational influence, soar high against the clouds, and go up, 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 up. Such is the path. Such
that is the destiny of those who are able to spend time in waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to wait on God. Take some 2 days off. Take some 3 days off. Go and hide at a retreat center and just put the phone away. Get some Bibles. Get some messages. Just play them. Just get some done more and be listened to. Not the songs that talk about God will give you food and all that. You need to develop a relationship and God will come through for you. Oh, there have been times when I've gone on waiting and I have not heard anything from God, but I still kept going. One day you will hear. One day he will show you a dream. One day he will open your eyes. One day he will visit you. The secret to the success of life is waiting on God. If you don't wait and you want to think that you are a youth, he said, even the youth, they shall utterly fall. Moses was a man born in a Hebrew family. Father was of the Levite, mother was of the Levite. Born and raised in the house of Pharaoh, you know the story. Moses lived there for 40 years. Moses was a born leader. Moses had a purpose. He knew his purpose. He knew he was made a leader. You know what God has made you. You know what God has made you. Moses knew he was a deliverer. He knew. Now it was that zeal that was burning in him. So the Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 2, he said one day when Moses was grown, I think it's from the verse 11 to 15, he said one day when Moses was grown, this was at the age of 40, he went out and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Was that Moses's problem? He could have walked away. He was already what is this word I'm trying to get? Please help me. His position was, I want to say something like, maybe I know it's not right. It was questionable. He was a Hebrew who had been raised in an Egyptian house. So already his position was some way. I can't remember the word I want to use. You see? He was even contradictory. He was not standing at a good place morally to even talk. You are a Hebrew raised by an Egyptian and a king. And then when he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, he went to the deliverance of the Hebrew. And he killed the Egyptian. Now, why did Moses do this? There was something in Moses. It was the purpose God had put in him. It was the purpose. Even before they gave us the microphones, you see that we were preaching on our own. In the bathroom, in the bedroom, you see that something was moving you. You keep talking. Even before they gave you a role at church, you see that you could wake up at night and pray. Some of you, even before choirs were formed and they brought you into it, you were singing in the bathroom. You were singing on your own. There is a purpose. There is something in you that is burning. And that is what made Moses go to the aid of that Hebrew. So there was another time. Two Hebrews were fighting. That same thing in him caused him to go again. Moses was walking in his calling as a deliverer. But had he waited on God before? No. Moses had not. There was a young man who was once with us. Oh, that guy could see things. Oh, sometimes I wish I had that grace. He could just see things. When you are talking to him, he's just seeing things. Before I realized he's gone somewhere, he says he's going to start some church somewhere in the village. The next time he came, the church didn't work out and he looked very wretched. Wait on God. Now, there was a lot of rumor hearsay going on in Egypt that Moses had killed somebody. And when he was about to separate the other Hebrew from his brother, he said, "Who made you judge over us? Who made you a prince over us?" That's the verse 14 of Exodus 2. Which means that whilst we're going on, that Moses is acting like our deliverer. Moses is trying to deliver us. When Pharaoh heard this, he wanted to kill Moses, and Moses ran away. He went to the land of Midian. When he got there, you can be following me, Bible readers. He saw 7 women coming to fetch water, and some shepherds trying to abuse the women. And the Bible says he went again to the deliverance of those women and fought the shepherds and pushed them away. So Moses has something boiling in him. It was the purpose of God. It was the zeal of God. These were the daughters of Jethro. And when they went home, their father asked them, "Why did you come so early?" He said, "An Egyptian saved us from the shepherds. He fetched water for us and even watered our flock." Such was the man Moses, a deliverer by birth. Many of us here, God has put in us a particular purpose. God has put in you something that bothers you so much. It is the fire of God in you. But like Moses, when we do not take time to wait upon God, the timings of God can be delayed in our life. Moses was at the age of 40. It was not going to be long that the Pharaoh, which was on the throne, was going to die. God was about to do something. Then Moses hastily started doing things that God hadn't told him to do. And he ended up in the desert for another 40 years, rising as a shepherd, taking care of people's sheep. Until in the book of Exodus chapter 3, he met God when he decided to wait on God. Why am I talking like this today? It is because we have walked away from the principles of prayer and waiting. We don't have it. How many of you here have gone on a fast from 3 days to just wait on God? Just within the last 6 months. Lift up your hand, let me see. Just a few. There was a king that was anointed by God. His name was Saul. For want of time, I'm going to be very fast. Saul had a problem with waiting on God. Saul always wanted quick fix answers. Sometimes he would go to the soothsayers, the witches, to tell them to divine spirits for him. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 6 to 14, Saul had an arrangement with the prophet Samuel. And he said that after 7 days, he was going to come and then have a sacrifice with him. Now when Saul saw that the Philistines' army were coming so much, he decided to offer the sacrifice himself. And the Bible says just after he had finished performing the burnt sacrifice, the prophet came. Now what happened there was very simple. God took the kingdom away from him. He said that you were supposed to live or reign forever, but now the Lord has taken the kingdom away from you because you couldn't wait. When we don't wait on God, we lose the things that God has prepared for us. When we don't wait on God, we lose a lot of things. Can you just read the last verses of there? He said that, and Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart." After his own heart. The difference between David and King Saul was that David was a person who could wait on God. Several times, I'm just going to quote the scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 17 to 25. David was faced with the same situation as Saul. The Philistines were coming. The Philistines were about to fight him. Look at something that David did. I think it should be the verse 18 thereabout. He said, Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, they went up to search for David.
And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Say the stronghold. The Philistines went there also and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and fight the Philistines? Twice he did that. When you read the whole passage that I've given you, the major difference between Saul and David was that David could wait on God. I may not excite you this morning, but my emphasis is strong. Learn to wait on God. Is it marriage? Is it a decision? What is your plan for 2014? I started praying that prayer in 2013. Lord, speak to me about the way for 2014. I have prayed about something for so long. I think around the 3rd or 4th January, the Lord spoke clearly. The Lord addressed every need. Every one of them was addressed. There was a confusion about something I wanted to do. He addressed it. There was some confusion about where to do it. He addressed it. The Lord addressed every one of those things. Psalm 27, verse number 14. He said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say again, wait. But let me tell you about a certain man before we close. You know, Saul, I was very surprised about Saul. And I'm going to let us read that scripture before I go. 1 Samuel 28, verse number 3. 1 Samuel 28, verse number 3. Read on. Samuel.
Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And Saul inquired of the Lord. The Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men with him.
Listen. Saul prayed to God, and the Lord did not answer him. And he had an alternative. He just had a contingency straight away. Change your attitude. He prayed and God did not answer him. And the next thing he said was, look, to hell with God. Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go and inquire of her. When God did not answer him, instead of Saul, what would you have done? I would have prayed again. The Bible says that when these same Philistines were coming against David, he inquired of the Lord until the Lord spoke. When Saul inquired of the Lord and the Lord did not speak, he said, find me a woman. That is a very terrible man. But is he so terrible? No. Today in churches, when this spiritist, Kweku Bunsam, was interviewed already, he said there are 1,200 pastors under him. This was a man of God. God had used, given so many victories. When he sought for God and he did not have an answer, his first response was not, God, forgive my sin. His first response was, no, what have I done? Let me fast. David will shave his head. David will lie in the ashes. David will cry for 7 days till he heard from God. When he did not hear from God, His first word was, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Such has been the life of many believers. You may not go to a medium, but you will travel to Achia because you have heard that there is a prophet there who can tell you about the things of your life. You will travel to Hebron. You will travel to Galilee. You will travel to Dr. Jesus. You will travel to a prophet Obama. You will travel to any name that is around. You will go, and you go. You always go. That is why we need to teach you. The church is shying away from the teachings of patience and long-suffering and forbearance. Are we better than Abraham and Isaac? Are we better than them? Are we better than Paul? Are we better than Peter? Are we better than the men of old? They knew how to wait on God. Sermons like this will make you sleep. I don't care. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wait on God. Stop waiting on your phones. Stop waiting on Facebook. Wait on God. Wait on God. He will answer you. He will answer you. Don't act like we're youth. Don't think you are so strong. He says that even the youth, they shall run and faint. Even the youth, they shall fall utterly along the way. But they that wait patiently on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Because this God does not grow weary. Because this God does not faint. That is why he said in the 40 verse 28, have you not heard that the creator of the universe does not faint? It means if you wait on him, you also not faint. The reason why some people are rising up the ladder is because they are waiting on God. Sunday Adelaja has one of the biggest churches in Ukraine. And he says that every month he sets 1 week aside to wait on God. 1 whole week. He doesn't go to church on that Sunday. From Monday to Monday, he leaves the church for them. He stays somewhere alone without his phone, with his books, and prays and waits on God. No wonder his ministry has ministers, government, parliament, president, and everybody there. Show me a man who has been successful in his life and is not running short of gas. He is a man that waits on God. Many of you have run short of gas. The journey you started, you ran short of gas. I didn't want to speak about this guy, but I'm going to speak about him all the same. His name was John the Baptist. Luke chapter number 1. John the Baptist was born, and like Moses and like Jeremiah, he had a purpose also. As a matter of fact, his birth was delayed because of this purpose. I said to myself, no man is permitted to speak if he first hasn't been spoken to by God. I said to myself the other time in prayer, no man is to be heard if he hasn't heard first from God. To be adored, you first need to be indoors with God. Quick fix, quick fix. I have the spirit of the grace of word of knowledge, and you want to go start a ministry. You will fail. Oh, you will fail. Did you not know the end of Saul? He said, how are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in God. Publish it not in Ashkelon. As if he was not the Lord's anointed. You have the spirit of prophecy. So what? Wait on God. You can preach better than your pastor. So what? Wait on God. You can sing. You are in a haste to make albums, to make programs. What has God said concerning that gift of singing in you? What did God tell you? As a matter of fact, did God tell you to make that album at that time? Wait on God. You will be surprised. God is even interested in the type of dress you wear. If only you will speak to him. Wait on God. Does it appear as if something is delaying? Wait on him. Avoid the prematurity of purpose. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 18. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. What am I talking about? This was a young man. He was filled with the Holy Ghost right from the womb. He knew he was a prophet. But when he grew, the Bible says that he waited in the wilderness. He was growing, but he didn't come out. He was growing, but he didn't go out to show himself. The Bible says he grew. He became strong in the spirit. Was he preaching? No. Was he evangelizing? No. Where was he? He was still waiting in the desert until the day of his showing. Until the day of his manifestation, the New King James says. There is a day of your showing. There is a day of your manifestation. But you have to learn to wait on the Lord. He waited. The boy was growing. Some of you, when you realize that you can do something better, it didn't mean it. Everybody has to hear of you. There was a Ghanaian boy. He launched an album. And then he had success with the first one. All of a sudden, he was everywhere. Nigeria, South Africa, making music. And I said, this boy is not waiting on God. He said he grew and he became strong, but he didn't go outside. He was still in the desert. Oh, I've been in the desert. Oh, I've been waiting. There is a day of manifestation that is coming. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 3, verse number 1 to 3. The Bible says, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, and Annas and Caiaphas were the high priest. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias. Where did the word of God come to him? In the wilderness. In the wilderness. And before I close, and he went into the region around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Next week, I'm going to continue this. He was in the wilderness until the day of his manifestation. And that is what the Bible is saying in Luke chapter 3. He said, in that time of the reign of these kings, the word of God went to him that was waiting in the wilderness. God gave him a message. When the word of the Lord came to him, then he went out into the region of Judea. Avoid the prematurity of purpose by learning to wait on God. Wait on God. Your best bet for success is on your knees in the room with God. When you pray more, you will plan less. He was waiting. The word of the Lord came. What has God told you? As I'm about to pray, I just want you to bow down your heads. Rise to your feet if you can. And I just want to ask you, what has God told you concerning that thing that you are praying about? Are you like Saul, who, when God did not answer him, quickly said, give me a woman who is a medium and let her tell me the things I want to know? No. What has God told you? The Bible says of John that he was growing, but he was still in the wilderness. He was praying. He was praying. He was praying. He was praying. Until many years after, in the time of Herod, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, the word of the Lord came to him in the wilderness. God's word will come to you if you wait. God's word will come to you if you wait. Prophecies that you receive are not the end of it all. They are just a teaser. When you will spend time with God in prayer, God will tell you the details of the plan. Lift up your hands and begin to look deep into your heart.
We trust you've been blessed by God's word. We invite you to be part of our victory services every Sunday from 7 a.m. You can find us behind Opportunity International, adjacent Vodafone Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Follow us on Twitter at @JJM_EC and like our Facebook page, JJM_EC. For further correspondence, email englishchapel@gmail.com. God bless you.